This is a recording of Multiple Degrees Within the Celestial, Terrestrial, and Telestial Kingdoms by David W. Smith, published in Interpreter, a journal of Latter-day Saint Faith and Scholarship, read by the author. Abstract. Based on Doctrine and Covenants, Section 131, Verse 1, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints teaches that there are 3 degrees within the Celestial Kingdom. There has been a proposal that this teaching is incorrect, and instead this scripture should be interpreted as a reference to the 3 kingdoms described in Doctrine and Covenants, Section 76, Celestial, Terrestrial, and Telestial. This proposition is based on 2 claims. First, the word celestial in Joseph Smith's day meant heavenly or belonging to heaven, so Doctrine and Covenants, Section 131, Verse 1 should be interpreted to mean, in heaven there are 3 degrees. The second claim is that interpreting Doctrine and Covenants, Section 131, Verse 1, as referring to 3 degrees in the Celestial Kingdom, is a 20th century innovation based on 1 sermon by 1 apostle, with almost no other apostolic support before or after that sermon. This article shows that the first claim is very likely incorrect, and the second is demonstrably false. The article then briefly addresses the question of degrees in the terrestrial and telestial kingdoms. In 1832, Joseph Smith saw a vision that heaven consists of 3 glories or kingdoms, which he called celestial, terrestrial, and telestial. This is now canonized as Doctrine and Covenants, Section 76. 10 years later, in 1843, Joseph further taught, "In the celestial glory there are 3 heavens or degrees." This instruction is now canonized as Doctrine and Covenants, Section 131, Verse 1. Based on this scripture, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints still currently teaches that there are 3 degrees within the Celestial Kingdom, the highest glory described in Doctrine and Covenants, Section 76. In a 2021 published essay, Shannon Flynn challenges the Church's interpretation of Doctrine and Covenants, Section 131, Verse 1, and argues that this verse is merely a restatement of the 3 degrees of glory defined in Section 76, rather than a description of subdegrees within the Celestial Kingdom. Flynn's proposition has gained traction and seen increasing acceptance. Because of this, his proposition warrants closer scrutiny. In this article, I will first describe and then rebut his proposition. I will also briefly address the question of degrees in the terrestrial and telestial kingdoms, and how the principle of degrees within the 3 kingdoms is an example of Heavenly Father's pure and universal love. The proposition. Flynn proposes that Doctrine and Covenants, Section 131, Verse 1, was a restatement of the 3 kingdoms described in Doctrine and Covenants, Section 76. Based on this reading, he believes that there are not 3 degrees within the Celestial Kingdom. This proposition is based on 2 claims. The first claim is that Joseph Smith used the word celestial in the generic 19th century sense of heaven as a whole, and not as a reference only to the celestial glory described in Doctrine and Covenants, Section 76. Flynn assumes this based on contemporary British and American dictionary definitions of the word celestial. From this, Flynn concludes that William Clayton, who recorded Joseph Smith's instruction, did not mean that there are 3 degrees within the celestial kingdom. The second claim is that interpreting Doctrine and Covenants, Section 131, Verse 1, as referring to 3 degrees in the celestial kingdom, is a 20th century innovation with almost no apostolic support. In his research on this topic, Flynn claims to have found that the general concept of degrees in the Celestial Kingdom was referenced only 5 times before 1922, 3 times by 1 apostle, 2 times by other church members. He also claims that the Church's current interpretation of Doctrine and Covenants, Section 131, Verse 1, was not even officially published until 1981, and has only been referenced 3 times in General Conference addresses, all by members of the 70. Flynn attributes the current interpretation to a 1922 discourse by Apostle Melvin J. Ballard, who distinctly taught that there are 3 degrees within the Celestial Kingdom. In that discourse, Elder Ballard cites Doctrine and Covenants, Section 131, verses 1 through 4 as support. Flynn states, "I do not believe that Ballard had any idea he was introducing a radically new concept. It seems likely that the teaching was not yet widely held within the LDS community. In my view, announcing 3 subdegrees within the Celestial Kingdom as official church doctrine was a simple mistake on the part of the popular apostle and speaker. However, the concept gradually took hold in the LDS community. Suffice it to say that the idea started off slowly and gained steam until it is generally believed, I suspect, by the majority of church members today. Such errors happen regularly in every religion, including the Mormon Church. But no amount of certainty, dogmatism, and conviction-bearing can change the fact that it is wrong. In the following sections, I will explain why Flynn's first claim is likely incorrect, and the second claim is demonstrably false. First, I will suggest that, beginning as early as 1832, Latter-day Saints understood the word celestial in the context of Joseph Smith's 1832 vision, now Doctrine and Covenants, Section 76, and not as a reference to the generic Christian heaven. Further, Joseph Smith consistently used the word celestial in the same way. Second, I will conclusively demonstrate that the principle of degrees in the celestial kingdom was repeatedly taught by apostles and in church publications beginning as early as 1847, not just following Elder Ballard's discourse in 1922. Joseph Smith's vision and his use of celestial. Flynn correctly observes that the word celestial in the 19th century generally meant heavenly or dwelling in heaven. It is also helpful to note that, in this time period, Christianity had almost universally embraced Protestant notions of an immediate post-mortem judgment and two diametric afterlife states, heaven and hell. Even the term celestial kingdom was a common synonym for heaven in the Christian vernacular. Based on this common usage outside of the church, the first claim in Flynn's proposition is that, because celestial and heaven were synonymous in the 1800s, a Latter-day Saint would have understood any reference to the celestial kingdom simply as a reference to heaven, including in Joseph Smith's 1843 instruction, now Doctrine and Covenants, Section 131, Verse 1. Recognizing how Latter-day Saints would have understood the word celestial in Joseph Smith's teachings helps explain how they might have initially received Joseph Smith's 1843 instruction. However, that does not determine what Joseph himself meant. Because William Clayton, the scribe for the instruction, was merely recording Joseph's words, the relevant question is how Joseph Smith himself understood and used the word celestial. In this portion of my article, I address both Latter-day Saint understanding of the word celestial and Joseph Smith's usage of that word. I first suggest that, despite the dictionary definition, Latter-day Saints came to understand the word celestial differently than was understood in broader Christianity, as referring to the highest part of heaven, not all of heaven. I then demonstrate that Joseph Smith consistently used the word celestial with that same understanding, not as a synonym for heaven in general. Latter-day Saint understanding of the word celestial. The more restrictive Latter-day Saint understanding of the word celestial is based on a vision Joseph Smith received in 1832. The introduction to the vision in the manuscript History of the Church noted, "It appeared self-evident from what truths were left that if God rewarded everyone according to the deeds done in the body, the term heaven, as intended for the saint's eternal home, must include more kingdoms than one. The recorded description of the vision focused on the glories that await humankind in eternity. There were four groups: the ungodly, who do not receive any glory, and those who receive celestial, terrestrial, or telestial glory." Because of this vision, Latter-day Saint understanding of heaven changed to differ from that of Christianity generally. Their use of this word celestial also changed to differ from common usage. This suggestion is based on 4 points, 3 of which are briefly addressed in this section and the 4th in the next section. First, after Joseph Smith's 1832 vision was recorded, copies of the record quickly circulated. The vision's importance to church members is demonstrated by the fact that it was published just a few months after it was received, and it was reprinted in 1835. Most church members likely learned about this vision of three kingdoms of glory soon after its publication, either from reading the published version or hearing it preached by missionaries or others. Through this reading or preaching, Latter-day Saints would have been exposed to, and likely adopted, this new understanding of the word celestial as a reference to the highest part of heaven, not as a synonym for the generic heaven. Second, missionaries appear to have regularly taught about Joseph's 1832 vision, which would have included teaching that the word celestial referred to the highest of 3 degrees of glory. Evidence for this comes from instructions that Joseph gave in 1837. Shortly before the gospel was first preached in England, Joseph instructed missionaries not to mention this vision of 3 degrees of glory until such time as the work was fully established. This instruction would have been unnecessary unless missionaries were regularly preaching about the vision, and thus teaching about celestial being the highest glory in heaven, not as synonymous with all of heaven. Further, the restriction on preaching about the vision was limited to England and was only temporary, as evidenced by the vision being published in 1841 in the church's newspaper in England. Third, the concept of celestial being the highest kingdom in heaven, not a synonym for the generic heaven, appears to have become part of Latter-day Saint consciousness. For example, in 1836, a missionary had a vision of the resurrection of the celestial kingdom or the inhabitants thereof, followed by a vision of the resurrection of the terrestrial kingdom, whose glory was lesser than the celestial. This illustrates that the word celestial was used in context of Joseph's 1832 vision. In 1837, speakers in a high council meeting used the terms celestial law and telestial law to frame a dispute about modern revelation. This illustrates the unique meaning Latter-day Saints assigned to the word celestial. John Corll's 1839 history included the concept of celestial, terrestrial, and telestial glories alongside other basic gospel principles such as the sacrament and healing the sick, demonstrating that the concept of celestial glory, referring to only the highest part of heaven, was a basic part of the gospel. These 3 points, widespread dissemination, regular missionary teaching, and examples of Latter-day Saint usage, suggest that Latter-day Saints understood the word celestial in Joseph Smith's teachings as a reference to the highest degree of in heaven, not as a synonym for heaven generally. This suggestion is further supported by how Joseph Smith used the word celestial, which is addressed next. Joseph Smith's use of the word celestial. In currently available documents, Joseph first used the word celestial in the text of his 1832 vision. The word appeared just 2 weeks later in the text of a revelation from the Lord explaining that inheriting the celestial glory required obedience to God's commandments, and that being equal in earthly things was required in order to be equal in heavenly things. These were all new concepts distinctly referring to the celestial glory described in the vision Joseph had experienced just 2 weeks earlier. The resulting blessing, the Lord further explained, would be standing independent above all other creatures beneath the celestial world, referring to those in the celestial glory being above all things. Within about a week of this revelation, Joseph revised 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 40 through 41 to emphasize the difference between celestial, terrestrial, and telestial glories. Also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial, and bodies telestial. But the glory of the celestial one, and of the terrestrial another, and of the telestial another. Again, this distinguishes celestial as referring to part of heaven, not all of heaven. In December 1832, the Lord revealed more information concerning the three glories. Of particular note was the fact that abiding by celestial, terrestrial, or telestial law determines the glory a person receives. Again, this revelation emphasized the distinction between the highest, celestial, glory, and the lower glories, terrestrial and telestial. Thus, in all four Joseph Smith documents in which the word celestial first appears, it is clearly referring to a specific part of heaven, not to heaven as a whole. His continued use of the word celestial remains consistent with this meaning. See Appendix 1 in the online or print versions of this article for a review that is too extensive to include here. Further, Joseph was focused on helping Latter-day Saints understand the principles of the vision. For example, he wrote a letter in 1834 to priesthood holders explaining more about the concept of law as it pertained to inheriting the celestial glory, taken from the December 1832 revelation. In this letter, he clarified that when he spoke of entering the heavenly kingdom, he meant the celestial glory. This would be a confusing statement if the word celestial were synonymous with heaven. Also, as historians Michael McKay and Daniel Belknap noted, Joseph started an effort in the summer of 1832 to better convey what he saw in his 1832 vision. This effort later included the Egyptian Language Documents, or ELD, created in 1835, which contained notes distinguishing celestial, terrestrial, and telestial glories, demonstrating that Joseph and those working with him continued to understand and work toward a way to teach celestial glory versus the lesser glories. Joseph likely strove for this better way of teaching because he viewed his 1832 vision as an essential part of the gospel. In a November 1833 letter, which discussed a member who had rejected the 1832 vision, Joseph stated that those who did not accept it and his other revelations have no fellowship with us. In his 1837 instruction to missionaries referenced in the previous section, he included the vision along with the principles of both gathering to Zion and accepting continuing revelation, thus highlighting the essential nature of the vision. And a note commenting on the vision in the manuscript history of the church stated that every law, every commandment, every promise showed the truth of the vision. Especially relevant to the context of Joseph's May 1843 instruction was the February 1843 publication of a poetic adaptation of the text of his 1832 vision, which again emphasized the word celestial as a specific kingdom in heaven. One stanza provides an apt example. And so the telestial is ministered to by ministers from the terrestrial one, as terrestrial is from the celestial throne, and the great, greater, greatest seems stars, moon, and sun. In summary, Joseph Smith first used the word celestial in the text of his 1832 vision. Thereafter, he consistently used the word to refer to the celestial glory described in that vision. In 1834, he clarified that when he spoke of entering the heavenly kingdom, he meant the celestial glory. He also consistently worked to more effectively teach the doctrine of his vision, which he viewed as an essential part of the gospel. All of this is evidence that he consistently used the word celestial to describe part of heaven, not all of heaven. These facts provide context for his May 1843 instruction. On the 16th of May, 1843, Joseph and his scribe, William Clayton, stopped for the night at the home of Ben and Melissa Johnson. During this visit, Joseph taught, "Except a man and his wife enter into an everlasting covenant and be married for eternity while in this probation by the power and authority of the holy priesthood, they will cease to increase when they die, i.e., they will not have any children in the resurrection. But those who are married by the power and authority of the priesthood in this life and continue without committing the sin against the Holy Ghost will continue to increase and have children in the celestial glory. In the celestial glory, there was three heavens or degrees, and in order to obtain the highest, a man must enter into this order of the priesthood, and if he don't, he can't obtain it. He may enter into the other, but that is the end of his kingdom. He cannot have an increase." Given the entire context of Joseph Smith's teaching about and use of the word celestial, this 1843 instruction about 3 degrees, now canonized as Doctrine and Covenants, section 131, verse 1, is best understood to mean 3 degrees within the celestial kingdom. Teachings about 3 degrees in the celestial kingdom. The second claim of Flynn's proposition is demonstrably false. The second claim is that interpreting Doctrine and Covenants, section 131, verse 1, as referring to 3 degrees in the celestial kingdom, is a 20th century innovation with almost no apostolic support. From the 1840s to the 1870s. In his research, Flynn could identify only 3 instances before 1876, when Joseph's instruction was canonized, when the principle of degrees in the celestial kingdom was mentioned, and all 3 instances were from Orson Pratt, who was an apostle at the time. Based on this incomplete summary, Flynn concludes, "It is my view that Pratt was putting forth his own ill-defined opinions." However, this research overlooked several additional references by Elder Pratt and other apostles. Thus, Flynn's conclusion that Elder Pratt was advancing ill-defined opinions is undermined by the fuller range of available sources. Latter-day Saints may have first encountered Joseph's 1843 instruction in print when it was published in the Deseret News in 1857. But Latter-day Saints who read The Millennial Star would have read about the principle of degrees in the celestial kingdom 10 years earlier. An article in The Millennial Star, likely written by Apostle Orson Hyde, explained that those who are faithful and receive all priesthood ordinances will be crowned in the celestial kingdom, while others may obtain salvation in the celestial kingdom, but not a celestial crown. Many are called to enjoy a celestial glory, yet few are chosen to wear a celestial crown, or rather, to be rulers in the celestial kingdom. Although the article does not include the word degrees or specify a number, some differentiation of glory within the celestial kingdom is clearly contemplated. President Brigham Young also taught this principle in April 1854 and again in 1857. In 1854, he discussed those who are more focused on earthly riches than eternal rewards. "Will they be saved? Yes. What? And be prepared to go into the celestial kingdom of God? Yes, if they repent of their sins and turn unto the Lord. Will they be crowned with crowns of glory, immortality, and eternal lives? No, but they will be prepared to enter there to serve others. In an 1857 address, Brigham Young further stated, "If we can pass the sentinel Joseph the prophet, we shall go into the celestial kingdom, and not a man can injure us. Will we all become gods and be crowned kings? No, my brethren, there will be millions on millions, even the greater part of the celestial world, who will not be capable of a fullness of that glory, immortality, eternal lives, and a continuation of them. Yet they will go into the celestial kingdom." As with the 1847 article, he didn't use the word degree or specify a number of levels, but he taught differentiated levels of glory within the celestial kingdom. He did state the number of degrees in the celestial kingdom 2 years later, in the final address of the April 1859 General Conference. "Man is created what for? For an exaltation to dwell with his Father in the heavens. Shall I say, in the heaven of heavens? Or, in the third heavens in the celestial kingdom? The object pertaining to the celestial kingdom is so organized intelligence, and that intelligence to receive intelligence, and intelligence, glory upon glory, power upon power, until they are prepared to enter back again into the presence of their Father and Savior." Unless he had learned the number independently of Joseph, President Young was relying on Joseph's 1843 instruction to specify the number of degrees. In any case, President Young's statement is clear. There are three heavens, or degrees, within the celestial kingdom. A month later, Apostle Orson Pratt discussed the celestial, terrestrial, and telestial glories and explicitly taught about 3 degrees in the celestial kingdom. This was noted by another apostle, Orson Hyde, a week later. "You recollect that Brother Pratt clearly delineated to you that in celestial kingdom, differences, all, are not the same class, but he pointed out 3 different degrees in celestial kingdom." Hyde affirmed Pratt's teaching by connecting the fruit in the parable of the sower to the celestial kingdom, that the 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold fruit represent the 3 different degrees within that kingdom. Thus, no later than mid-1859, Brigham Young, Orson Pratt, and Orson Hyde, all of whom were intimately acquainted with Joseph Smith's teachings and language, clearly taught that there are 3 degrees in the celestial kingdom. This teaching came more than 15 years before Joseph Smith's 1843 instruction was canonized, what is now Doctrine and Covenants, Section 131, Verse 1, and more than 60 years before Elder Melvin J. Ballard's 1922 discourse. President Young and Elder Pratt would reiterate the principle of degrees in the celestial kingdom over the next 2 decades. For example, in August 1867, President Young taught, "There will a great many people go into the celestial kingdom of our Father and God that will not be crowned gods and have influence of God. They will be angels, servants." And in January 1873, Elder Pratt taught, "Concerning the nature of this higher state of glory called celestial, will there be any difference among those who are redeemed into that glory? There will, in some respects. Some who will inherit a portion of that glory will have no families, while others will receive an exaltation and kingdom, and will have wives, children, dominion, greatness, and power far above those I first referred to." Additional examples are listed in Appendix 2 of the online or print versions of this article. From Canonization to the 1920s. Joseph Smith's 1843 instruction about 3 degrees in the celestial kingdom was canonized in 1876 as Doctrine and Covenants, Section 131, Verse 1. Flynn identified only 2 references between 1876 and 1922 to 3 degrees in the celestial kingdom. These instances were an 1888 report of a sermon by a stake presidency counselor and, more importantly, an influential 1893 book by Elder B. H. Roberts, who was then serving in the First Council of the 70. However, Flynn's research overlooked many other examples from apostles and church publications. For example, in 1883, Apostle Erastus Snow taught that the holy covenant of marriage for time and for all eternity is that which completes the exaltation and glory of the righteous. Many may enter into the glory of God and become servants in the house of God and in the celestial kingdom of God, who are not able to abide this new and everlasting covenant. But, as we are told in the Doctrine and Covenants, with them there is an end to their exaltation. Another example, and probably the most prominent work overlooked in Flynn's research, was James E. Talmage's The Articles of Faith, published by the Church in 1899 and repeatedly published and referenced for over a century. Talmage was, at this time, a well-respected scientist and gospel scholar, though not yet an apostle. However, this book had been reviewed by three members of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles and three other trusted gospel scholars. In his discussion about the degrees of glory, Talmage stated that there were a multitude of subdivisions in the celestial kingdom and cited Doctrine and Covenants section 131 verse 1 for support. This statement has remained nearly unchanged throughout the various editions of the book. And, after becoming an apostle, Talmage quoted that statement almost verbatim in his 1912 publication, The House of the Lord. Another apostle, Orson F. Whitney, also explicitly discussed the principle of three degrees in the celestial kingdom in his 1914 book, Gospel Themes, A Treatise on Salient Features of Mormonism, also published by the Church. The prophet also taught that there are grades of glory, even in the celestial kingdom, his exact language being, in the celestial glory, there are three heavens, or degrees. Multiple other church publications from this period also referenced or discussed this principle. See Appendix 2 in the online or print versions of this article. Elder Ballard's Discourse. As noted above, Flynn attributes the generally church-wide interpretation of Doctrine and Covenants, section 131, verse 1, as referring to three degrees within the celestial kingdom, as primarily coming from the 1922 discourse by Apostle Melvin J. Ballard. In that sermon, Elder Ballard cites Doctrine and Covenants, section 131, verse 1, and repeated what had been taught by multiple apostles and church presidents. Now I wish to say to you that the only possible candidates to become what God is are those who attain celestial glory, and those who fail in that will never, worlds without end, be possible candidates to become what God is. Then I wish to say to you that there are three degrees of glory in the celestial kingdom, and only those who attain the highest degree of celestial glory will be candidates to become what God is. As noted earlier, Flynn's research did not identify a reference in a church manual to three degrees in the celestial kingdom until 1981, and identified only three times in general conference addresses when the principle of degrees in the celestial kingdom was referenced, all by members of the 70. However, Flynn's research overlooked several church manuals published long before 1981 that discussed this principle. The earliest such manual that I located was published in 1901, and was followed by many subsequent manuals and church publications discussing this principle. See Appendix 2 in the online or print versions of this article. Flynn's research also overlooked several references in general conference addresses up through the year 2000, including references by two church presidents and six apostles. See Appendix 2 in the online or print versions of this article. The reason for citing references after Elder Ballard's 1922 discourse is to make the point that the consistent interpretation of Doctrine and Covenants, section 131, verse 1, over the last 175 years, continues to have support from church leaders and is included in current church publications. For example, the entry Kingdoms of Glory in the Church's Topics and Questions portion of Gospel Library states, "From another revelation to the prophet Joseph, we learn that there are three degrees within the celestial kingdom. To be exalted in the highest degree and continue eternally in family relationships, we must enter into the new and everlasting covenant of marriage, and be true to that covenant. In other words, temple marriage is a requirement for obtaining the highest degree of celestial glory. All who are worthy to enter into the new and everlasting covenant of marriage will have that opportunity, whether in this life or the next." From numerous church publications and discourses by apostles, it is clear that, far from starting off slowly and gaining steam after Melvin J. Ballard's 1922 discourse, as asserted in Flynn's proposition, the principle of three degrees in the celestial kingdom was repeatedly taught by apostles and others many times before as well as after the 1922 discourse. Multiple degrees in the terrestrial and telestial kingdoms. The established principle of three degrees in the celestial kingdom raises a question about the other two kingdoms of glory. Are there multiple degrees within the terrestrial and telestial kingdoms? Some statements by apostles and in church publications suggest that there are indeed multiple degrees within those kingdoms. Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, verse 98, seems to imply varying degrees within the telestial kingdom. "The glory of the telestial is one, even as the glory of the stars is one. For as one star differs from another star in glory, even so differs one from another in glory in the celestial world. This verse has been either paraphrased or cited to support the principle of varying degrees in the celestial kingdom. For example, Apostle, later President, Joseph Fielding Smith briefly mentioned the celestial kingdom in the influential book Doctrines of Salvation, using wording from this verse. Those who enter into the celestial kingdom where their glories differ as do the stars of heaven in their magnitude. And the current Institute Manual for the Doctrine and Covenants unequivocally states, the celestial kingdom is also comprised of various glories. Charles W. Penrose, then in the First Presidency, also noted the following for the terrestrial and celestial kingdoms. Those who get into the terrestrial kingdom are to have certain qualities that are explained. There are several degrees in that one glory. Then comes the third group. These are they who come forth in the celestial glory, and their glory differs as one star differs from another, and they shall each be judged according to their works, as all will be. So there are various degrees of these people who are brought forth according to their crimes and their punishments and their redemption. They come forth into the glory of the stars. Relatedly, there have been some suggestions that the number of degrees or gradations may be innumerable. For example, President Brigham Young stated, "Were I to enumerate thousands of different degrees of glory and kingdoms, I probably should over-enumerate the kingdoms God has prepared." Elder John A. Witzo echoed this when he wrote, "These gradations in salvation may be innumerable, since all members of the human family are different. The many gradations are, however, reduced to three classes, which are the celestial, terrestrial, and telestial." As a summary of the principle of multiple degrees in the celestial, terrestrial, and telestial kingdoms, below is a passage from the original 1899 edition of Talmage's The Articles of Faith, and repeated in his 1912 The House of the Lord, written after he had been ordained as an apostle. "The three kingdoms of widely differing glories are themselves organized on an orderly plan of gradation. We have seen that the celestial kingdom comprises a multitude of subdivisions. This is also the case, we are told, with the celestial. And by analogy, we conclude that a similar condition prevails in the terrestrial. Thus, the innumerable degrees of merit amongst mankind are provided for in an infinity of graded glories." Although there have been some references to the existence of degrees in the terrestrial and telestial kingdoms over the years, by far the greatest emphasis by church leaders has been on the celestial kingdom. This emphasis is not surprising. President Dallin H. Oaks states, "The Lord has chosen to reveal comparatively little about two of these kingdoms of glory, the terrestrial and telestial. In contrast, the Lord has revealed much about the highest kingdom of glory. The purpose of the doctrine and policies of this restored church is to prepare God's children for salvation in the celestial glory, and, more particularly, for exaltation in its highest degree." But even what little has been revealed about the terrestrial and telestial kingdoms highlights the pure and universal love of Heavenly Father. A teaching by President Dallin H. Oaks on the three kingdoms generally might also be applied to degrees within those kingdoms. The ultimate destiny of all who live on the earth is not the inadequate idea of heaven for the righteous and the eternal sufferings of hell for the rest. God's loving plan for his children includes this reality taught by our Savior, Jesus Christ. "In my Father's house are many mansions." The revealed doctrine of the restored Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints teaches that all the children of God, with exceptions too limited to consider here, will ultimately inherit one of three kingdoms of glory, even the least of which surpasses all understanding. Under that loving plan, there are multiple kingdoms, many mansions, so that all of God's children will inherit a kingdom of glory whose laws they can comfortably abide. Summary and conclusion. Based on Doctrine and Covenants, Section 131, Verse 1, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints teaches that there are three degrees within the celestial kingdom. Shannon Flynn proposes that this scripture instead refers to the three kingdoms described in Doctrine and Covenants, Section 76, and therefore does not indicate that there are three degrees in the celestial kingdom. This proposition is based on two claims. First, the word celestial in Joseph Smith's day simply meant heavenly. And second, the idea of three degrees in the celestial kingdom is a 20th century innovation with little apostolic support. Responding to the first claim, I have suggested that, beginning as early as 1832, Latter-day Saints understood the word celestial in the context of Joseph Smith's 1832 vision of three degrees of glory. Further, Joseph Smith consistently used the word celestial to refer to the highest glory in that vision, not to all of heaven. Thus, Doctrine and Covenants, section 131, verse 1, is best understood as a reference to the celestial kingdom. I have shown that the second claim is demonstrably false. The principle of 3 degrees in the celestial kingdom was taught by Brigham Young, Orson Hyde, and Orson Pratt no later than 1859. The principle was also repeatedly taught or referenced by apostles and in church publications before, as well as after, Melvin J. Ballard's 1922 discourse. Thus, Elder Ballard's discourse was simply one of a long line of addresses and publications that taught this principle. The importance of 3 degrees in the celestial kingdom was most recently highlighted by Dallin H. Oaks, then a counselor in the First Presidency. In an extended discourse in the October 2023 General Conference on the Celestial, Terrestrial, and Telestial Kingdoms, he noted, "In the celestial glory there are 3 levels, of which the highest is exaltation in the celestial kingdom. Through revelation, God has revealed the eternal laws, ordinances, and covenants that must be observed to develop the godly attributes necessary to realize this divine potential. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints focuses on these because the purpose of this restored church is to prepare God's children for salvation in the celestial glory, and, more particularly, for exaltation in its highest degree. God's plan, founded on eternal truth, requires that exaltation can be attained only through faithfulness to the covenants of an eternal marriage between a man and a woman in the Holy Temple, which marriage will ultimately be available to all the faithful." As the prophet Joseph Smith taught, any person who is exalted to the highest mansion has to abide a celestial law, and the whole law, too. Understanding the law that governs exaltation in the celestial kingdom allows us to choose to abide by that law, or at least desire to do so, in order to receive the fullness of the blessings promised by a loving Heavenly Father. Author's bio. David W. Smith received a Bachelor of Arts in Philosophy and a Master of Public Administration from Brigham Young University. He has been published in BYU Studies and has presented at the Joseph Smith Papers Conference. He volunteers with FAIR and was the recipient of their 2020 John Taylor Defender of the Faith Award. This has been a recording of Multiple Degrees Within the Celestial, Terrestrial, and Telestial Kingdoms by David W. Smith, published in Interpreter, a Journal of Latter-day Saint Faith and Scholarship, Volume 68, the year 2026. Read by the author. This audio recording is copyrighted under Creative Commons license and may be freely distributed if it remains unchanged, the journal and its website are credited, and is for non-commercial use. A printed version of this and many other articles can be found at journal.interpreterfoundation.org. More information about the Interpreter Foundation, along with a wide array of additional resources, can be found at interpreterfoundation.org.